Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Shuli.
Anytime you go on like a road trip with the family, there's that moment of just pure bliss where you're just driving, you look in the mirror, you just go, look at this, look at what we created. How yes. amazing is this? In a matter of 30 seconds, somebody takes something from somebody and you're like, I'm going to veer into oncoming traffic. I want all of this to end. She wants to drink from my water cup. It's water. You don't own it. Just give it to her.
Ugh. I want the yellow cup.
It's like the patients in Cuckoo's Nest, you know? I want my cards. I want my cards, Nurse Ratched.
I bet a nickel.
It's not a nickel. It's a shit. You understand? You take a thing, you got shit. Shit, martini.
I bet a nickel.
God damn it! Bunch of nuts! Off he goes.
I think the greatest Nicholson line ever, just quickly off the subject, yeah. in The Departed, where he comes into the bar and he goes, how's your mother, Jimmy? And she goes, she's on her way out. We all are. Act accordingly.
I just want to let you know, I can strike you out.
Me and my two friends went to play wiffle ball down the shore on the beach. We started playing. All these little kids came over.
And said, wait, you're an adult doing this, Mike?
Yeah, this is...
Yeah.
Me and two friends, and then my one friend has a son who's yeah. like 9 or 10.
Yeah.
And we start playing, and all of a sudden, all the little kids down the shore on the beach with their families see us playing wiffle ball, so they come over and ask if they can play.
Right.
So... We start playing, and we're all joking around, and this one kid gets up, he's probably 9, and I pitch the ball to him, and he cracks it, and he was like, and I was just like, okay, whatever.
Now, when you pitch it, you're doing your...
No, I'm just throwing it
you're
in.
You're just throwing it.
And he cracks it, and then I get up against him, and I strike out. Like, I foul too often, and then I just, like, miss one, and he's like... He's laughing.
It's now, huge.
Now I get up and pitch again, and I go, I throw another one. He cracks it, and he goes, I can hit it off you, and you can't hit it off me. So I go, all right, next time he gets up, he's like 9. His mom's watching.
Real nice. Real nice, Mike Tichy.
I whip it in.
You whip it.
Right in. He just looks at it.
Right.
Just gonna let you know.
Just gonna let you know
where we're at here, okay?
Okay.
The one kid that who has a kid playing is looking at me like, what are you doing?
Yeah, dude, come on. What are you doing?
You really have to prove that point.
I throw the next one in and it's a changeup. Now the kid swings as hard as he can and misses. And I strike him in the eye. I go. I was just like, now we're even, right? My friends talk about this forever, and they tell all their friends, they're just like, he was a little boy.
A little boy.
Wanted to play.
You want to let him know who's boss.
Well, he said, I can hit it off you, and you can't hit it off me.
You know, but sometimes you got to, like, cut that cockiness short. At any age.
I agree. I had to do that to my daughter.
Yeah.
My daughter was 8, 9 years old, can't stand losing. Mm-hmm. When I pitched to her, I'd let her hit the ball, and then she'd get her friend, and her friends would come over like, Dad, we want to play against you. Okay, great. And I'm fine until the cockiness happens.
Yeah.
And then what I do is, okay, Now, I know you're winning 6-0, but now I'm going to tie the game this inning. Uh-huh. Just to make you aware, I can squash you.
Oh, of course.
Just to let you know. And you can't get cocky.
I remember that.
They start cheating.
Yeah. The kid was using one of those bats that's like
the big fat bat.
Yeah, so I went up and I was like, I'm just going to use this bat once. And he pitches it and I hit it.
A mile long.
I'm running around the bases, cracking up.
Oh my gosh, Mike.
It was so fun.
We played kickball with families. I want to say it was like 2 New Year's Eves ago. It was so warm out. We all went outside and we played kickball.
That's awesome.
And
with a big red ball?
Yes.
You have to.
And it was on our street and there were kids and parents playing. The wife on the other team was so competitive, and the mother, they were cheating over foul balls. And then finally, when I came up, I didn't care.
It's like Adam Sandler.
It really is.
Now you're all in big, big trouble.
I kicked the ball, and at the end of if I kick it over your head, it keeps going, and then it rolls down a hill, a very steep hill, all the way, it goes for another 2 football fields. I must have blasted that ball a mile and a half long, and just to watch them run was so exciting.
I remember you were going to set up, it was probably within the past 2 years, you were setting up, you were like, Sunday night, my daughter's having a bunch of her friends over, and we're going to play Manhunt.
Oh, yeah.
You set it up, and I remember then it was going to rain.
Yes.
And I was like, it rained, and then you played the next time, and I couldn't play. You wound up playing. I think you said you played Kick the Can, you wound up playing.
Yes.
And you pulled your leg.
That's when I pulled my muscle. It lasted a year and a half.
Yeah.
I still get twinges of it, and it was the most competitive, fun. That was the most fun ever. Adults should play Kick the Can and Manhunt.
Oh, God. I, without a doubt.
Climbing trees. I was hiding in the pitch black in the grass, and they kept walking by me, and it felt so good. I'm like, I think if we ever got taken over, I'd be able to be in a war situation.
Well, last weekend, Joe played paintball last weekend, he was telling me, or 2 weekends ago.
Yeah, I almost feel like that's kind of like, it's not real. And I'll tell you why.
Have you gotten hit by one of those things?
No. It's painful.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you have to go for the flag. There's a certain amount of time.
Right. Yeah.
And it's like, you're in the open. You get to hide behind a tree.
No, I played that where you go, they take you on a bus, and you're all in your camouflage, and you go out into the middle of the woods, and it's a giant area. And you have teams of like 15 each. And I remember seeing one guy, we're all in our camouflage. This one guy plays, I just told Deanna the story, and I was terrified. He has a bright orange shirt.
Yeah.
He doesn't care. He plays every weekend. He just runs forward. Everyone else is like, and this guy, I don't know how he did it. He would just kill everybody. So later on in the day, I see him. He's not on my team. I see the orange shirt guy in front of me. I'm like, hide me behind a tree. I have a clear shot of him. And I go, I'm like looking at him like, oh, what if I miss? What if I miss? This guy will kill me easily. And I just, I ducked down.
I went
behind the hill. And I let go.
Mike backed out.
I was definitely one of them on my team when we played.
I was terrified of this guy because he had an orange shirt. And
he's probably a military guy, just taking everyone down.
Totally. He was just going, he's just running through, just like, hitting everyone. And we were all like, it's not easy to hit with those things.
It's really hard.
You're like,
especially while you're running.
Yeah. And then you got like your friends and you're just like, I don't know, how good are they at guarding me?
I still don't understand the object. The object is there's a flag and you have to get that one flag.
You have to get the other person's flag and bring it back to your side.
Oh, you
got to
get the other person's flag.
You have to go buy them.
To your base.
So you have to get past them. So you have your guards.
Yeah. And they're doing the same thing. And they're getting past your flag, trying to get your... It's whoever gets the flag and brings it back.
And they got to bring it all the way back. So you can kill them while they're carrying the flag and get your flag back.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But the other thing is, like, if we were to go, we would get the paintballs and paintball guns that they rent out.
Yeah, yeah.
Which aren't that great.
Right,
like, there are guys that have professional, like semi-automatic paintball.
Yeah, right. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy. Not fair.
It's cheating. And it stops being fun if you play with those guys.
Right, and hitting you in the head.
Right.
Yeah, I've gotten welts all over my back from that thing. It kills.
Yeah, no, I would want to bring...
If you brought like a huge group,
I'd bring gear. I would cheat my boss. I'd have hockey equipment on. I'll tell you right now. I'm going to wear padding, mask.
Oh, have like six t-shirts so if he hits one, you can take it off.
When I realized the first time how much it hurt, the next time I went, it was summer. Like 90 degrees out. I still wore three layers.
Me too.
Yeah. Because I was like, I'm afraid to get hit.
No, I'm going to buy a bulletproof vest. I'm gonna have hockey pants
and the hockey guards on my knees.
You'll hear my plastic coming through the woods.
Yeah, what's up?
Oh, that'd score!
That would be fun.
Oh my god, it's great.
Yeah.
All right. I still haven't done that. But I do want it. So the podcast, right? This company, Ad Large, gets us advertising.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to be dead honest with you, and I think they're kind of okay with this. But long story short, I get invited 2 days ago to go to, I guess it was, all the advertisers sit in a room and you go in there and you present your podcast.
Oh, right.
And I guess it's like a showcase. Now, I go in there, Shaquille O'Neal's there, and you know, superstars and models and this and that. And I'm taking this as let's see. I can't take my age right now. I'm taking this as what am I doing? So I went in like, oh, this is, and everyone's really nervous, extremely.
So everyone knows what they're doing and you don't really know?
I have no clue.
Right.
I have no clue. And they're like, you got 4 minutes, and you know the bullet points of what to say. I'm like, yeah, I know what to say. I have no clue what to say. So now I get these.
What are you doing there? Like what?
I'm representing Ad Large because we're part of they're the ones that find the advertising.
Okay,
for
okay.
Us.
Mm-hmm. So is everybody else there? All like Shaquille O'Neal's also. Yeah,
they're
part
all
of-
different. Okay, so it's like each company has their own podcast.
Right.
There was CBS who had the stars. They had Shaquille O'Neal and. You know, ESPN, the whole panel of ESPN was there, and this guy's she's an ex-swimmer and an ex-basketball player and all these, and they come out like, ladies and gentlemen, please stand for, and they come out, and, you know, the reason why, you know, we, and they're doing all this, you know, on the digital media, and if you look at the media and the digital and the numbers of thing, and this as, and, it's like, oh my god! Is it, everyone, no matter how big the star was or how big it all blended together to me.
Right.
I was like, what are we doing? So I'm about to go out. My favorite person there was Michael Rappaport. He was hilarious.
Oh, he's amazing. He's hilarious. So funny. Yeah,
he comes up to, and all we do is we go back and forth, Raging Bull comments. That's all. That's all we do.
Yeah.
He comes up to me, goes, "I hear you breathing," and no one else. No one else knew what that meant.
Uh-huh.
I knew exactly what that meant. That is a scene in Raging Bull when De Niro wants to call his brother, Joe Pesci, and make amends. Mm-hmm. And he calls, and Pesci answers the phone. He goes, "Hello? Who's this?" And De Niro freezes, and he doesn't say. He goes, "I can hear you breathing." And he goes, "Your mother sucks fucking dead elephant fucking," and hangs up on him. But just Michael Rappaport. So anyway, that's me and Michael Rappaport. So I see him. I'm excited. Shaquille O'Neal is huge.
Yeah.
Huge. I cannot underestimate your thought. Whatever you think huge is, it's bigger than that.
Wow.
He is, not only is he like 6'8", 6'9", he's got to be about 400 pounds.
Wow.
Imagine that coming down the court, and you're supposed to block that?
Right, or under the basket, and he's going to...
How are you supposed to block that?
Yeah.
You can't. It's impossible. So anyway, I go, tell me, what exactly, what's the deal here? Because, well, okay, all right, you go out, we go out, and we say we're Ad Large, and we get... And,
who's
and,
telling you this?
This is the company, okay, Ad Large. Okay, okay. Great people, by the way.
Yeah.
Great, great. We get great people covering us. Jay there is one of our front guys, and he's the one that's getting these things and stuff like that, which I have to do also here. So anyway, I went out there. I went, okay, so all they really care about is just advertising for the show. That's it. I went, at the end of the day, does it matter if I go out and murder? And I'm because Michael kept coming and going, man, this is a tough crowd. Don't think you're at the laugh stop. And he's telling everyone, because he's the host, mm-hmm. this guy's, this crowd is horrible. They are real, it's impossible. So, whatever. I'm not looking to be funny. So, I walk out there and I go, I really not sure what's going on or what they just talked about. Because Ad Large has to go, blah, 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 and we do that. I have no clue what they just said. Mm-hmm. And I don't really care. I go, I got this podcast called The Metal and Me. And I, you know, my life right now, I'm just, it's all my passions. My passion is family, metal, and don't snicker at metal. I know you guys, it's not all metal. It's, I go, and you could snicker at metal. I'll tell you what, we're playing festivals. The last festival we played, it was 25,000 people. It was sold out. We do another one, it's going to be 40,000 people. It's sold out. You know, so people could say whatever. I go, that's a lot of... It's a lot of advertising people for one event, and there's more listeners. And if you told me that we'd be rising as quick as we are, mm-hmm. I went, if you told me that we'd be worldwide news our first month into it, I'd say you're out of your mind. But I have relationships with these rock stars, but because I'm friends and I don't realize, I go, sometimes I talk about the industry in ways maybe I shouldn't, but I don't care. I'm just being honest. And that, I could see them starting to perk up in their seats. Like, what is, you know, with the Brian Johnson thing, I had no clue what I'd get. I'm starting to get reporters from England and Australia calling me going, what's this about Brian and AC/DC? Or, oh, my God, I didn't even know anyone listened. And they all laughed. Mm-hmm. I go, I still don't know if anyone listens. and they laughed again. And it's the God's honest truth. I don't look at the reports and all right. that. Eventually, I'm going to have to.
Right.
And I'll have to grasp that business side. And then I said, and it's not about metal. It's real life. I go, we do bits. If I get Metallica on, I don't care about their songs. Around. I want to put them on. I want to talk about their why. We do game shows. We have game shows. Mm-hmm. We make them come up with bits. And I could say, like, if you listen to my last appearance on Stern, I go, a lot of you talk about the last... Guess what? All that is all in The Metal and Me. Right. And you hear the raw version of us going, it'd be funny to hear Brian Johnson doing Sam Kinison jokes. And we were laughing. Mm-hmm. I was already going, oh, I'm doing this on Stern. This is a huge Stern. I said, this is my playground. I said, it's also a place where I talk about my wife. I go, when we had Brian Johnson sing on my album, he sings on my album. And I remember first listening to the song going, is this cool or what? And we're all, everyone in the industry, this is amazing. Everyone around, this is the greatest song. My wife goes, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'd have Brian. It's just, and so it's not just that. It's everything going on in my life. And then music plays when your time's up. I said, so the music started playing. I went, I wish they would have picked better music. I go, so that's it. You know, if you listen, you listen. If you don't, whatever. I'm still going to have a good time. They must email me four times. Like, dude, you were the buzz. You were, that was their, they're all still talking about. We're getting amazing feedback. So I don't know what it leads to.
Wow. Yeah.
But that, I thought it was intriguing that, I got to say, Adam Carolla's agent, he's got James, who I've known a very long time. And Adam Carolla was there, and he came up, and he was very funny, actually. He was very funny.
I know you had a little thing with him.
We had a little thing. It's long over.
He's a He is a funny guy.
Dude, he was funny.
He
was very funny.
Yeah.
Michael Rapport would ask questions, and I'm not in a mood to be funny. So I would answer it kind of half seriously, and then Adam would answer it, and it was freaking hilarious. He was hilarious.
Yeah.
But his agent said, have you guys started doing live podcasts yet? I went, no, but we keep talking about it. And he goes, you should really...
They tore that thing.
He goes, you guys can easily tour your podcast.
NPR does live podcasts. It's like a big thing.
Yeah, and he gave me like unbelievable marketing ideas and stuff like that. It was freaking brilliant. And he goes, even interviews, which I don't want to do, or at least I don't want to do yet. He goes, you know, if you're friends with these big rockers, you could do side podcasts. Because, in other words, let's say, oh, you're doing a festival. You're with Alice in Chains. And you guys sat together for an hour. And you did, altogether, you did 2 hours of a podcast. So you do the podcast. Now we're talking about Jerry and the heavy stuff. And we get into all this other stuff. You put that as an advertisement on your podcast and go, if you want to listen to the whole thing, it costs $1. $1
yeah.
on iTunes.
Yeah.
Like a platinum.
Like
member.
A platinum yeah. member or whatever yeah. member and blah, blah, blah member. Yeah, like who cares? What's 99 cents a month? But then 99 cents, you're giving them great content.
Right.
You can't just go, we now value you, but we're going to have to come up with content and take advantage of these festivals we're going to be on. And back to where this podcast started. Yes, you're getting to know the band. Yes, we're getting to know the songs and all that. But at the same time, the music world, we had all these bits, and we have to start. We have to start finding that playtime bits, and I think part of that too is when we find this new guitarist of ours, which is another whole thing. I'm not sure if we should go into, but
not
yet.
Yeah.
Not until it's done.
Yeah.
Alex, are you gonna say something?
I was going to say, well, Mike and I had the idea a while ago for the festivals, a way to use your puppets. Do use Ozzy Puppet or Hetfield Puppet
yes.
to interview some of these bands that you're on the festival with. And even either audio or video it.
Yeah, and that's what I started thinking of it too, was the audio. Mike, you just like Rogan and all these guys, and we were kind of sidelined when we were talking about production and it got into all that nonsense. You know, I went on Facebook Live. When I go on Facebook Live, yes, it's a lot of Met fans or whatever fans and comedy fans, but I instantly have, literally in 3 minutes, 2,000 comments.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
What stops us from...
It's a different, yeah.
From, we could do it on Facebook, we could put it on Periscope, and what's the big deal?
You stick a camera right there.
Stick a camera, and we're just streaming. It's not... anything. And then when we start doing some of these bits, it might be really funny, and maybe we save them. Like, let's do a show with the metal. Where today we're gonna metal this, and I'll come in as a character. Mm-hmm. I'll do the character.
Yeah,
I'll do heavy metal man. I'm gonna metal this.
Yep. We should just all the things we were talking about. We should just do here,
right,
with a video camera.
Do right here. It's not a bigger deal. We're not looking for big production,
right?
We're going to have to start dating some things and do this. This is... And then maybe we start booking our little one-nighters on Tuesday and Wednesdays. We do the podcast Mondays, come up with bits, and then work the bits out live on stage when we're doing the show on Wednesdays. So we get to do songs from the garage, then bits like we did in Brooklyn, where I did Brian Johnson doing Sam Kinison and... Right. Ozzy was doing Richard Pryor, Halford doing Stephen Wright.
Right.
And we also need a website. And I know, Alex, you were talking about...
Yeah, I'm taking care of it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I got to talk to you afterwards.
I think the website will give fans or listeners a place to start then discussing. Did you listen today? Did you talk about this? Brewer, you should do this. Mike, blah, blah, blah. Where's this? Where's...
I'm actually, we get a good deal of email.
We do?
I set up an email address for us.
Well, wait, how come we don't read some of them? Huh? Why don't we read some of them?
Sure. Hold on.
You got some now? Well, why are you doing that?
We got some Metal Mike questions, too, from people.
We should call Metal Mike and see if he still wants to do this. Yeah. And if he doesn't, I'll pretend I'm Metal Mike. You know, that's interesting.
Well, we were thinking we should just, whoever the new guitarist is, just transfer the questions to them, and they have to answer them.
Let's see. Hey, dude, this Casper...
Is that the mattress?
Yeah. They're going to give me a mattress.
Oh, nice. So I'm jealous.
You're so lucky.
I'm so jealous. My mattress sucks.
Yeah, and this is the crazy part about the freaking mattress is, so I go home and I tell my wife and I go, Dee, do you know about like Casper mattress? They want to give some mattress? She says, what kind of mattress? I said, maybe we'll give it to Kelsey. She went, what mattress? I went, Casper. She went, screw our daughters. I want that. I went, why? Well, to, you know, to feel it out. She's like, yes. Yes. And my wife's picky. My wife is picky.
Yeah.
She hangs out with elite of elite females.
Like Angelina Jolie?
Yes. Yeah. And yes, of that standard. Yep. I'm not even kidding.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
She goes over, you know, from yes, I don't want to drop names, but she'll go from this to someone, all her friends, her circle of friends, we are like food stamp material compared to all them.
Wow.
But it's not just that. They're the coolest. They're all such a cool circle. They're great people. But even in town within a couple of miles, you know, and she goes over their houses and she thinks, yeah, we're going to redo this. No, we're not. No,
but
we're not.
But now she gets to go over and be like, I got a Casper mattress.
I've got a Casper mattress and you don't.
When you go away and I feed your cats, I'm totally laying on your Casper.
And I know that. You're going to do some jujitsu on the mattress.
You're going to find beard hair on your...
Oh, God. Oh, no. Here's what Casper's doing. And they hooked me up for this, and they want to hook up our listeners. So if you buy a Casper mattress, it's completely risk-free, which I'm 100% into that. I hate committing to anything. My wife wants to buy a freaking mountain house, right? She wants to buy... We rented a house in the mountains for a summer. This is when she was still recovering from cancer. So I was like, let's get away. I'm going to Mouse. She loved it. I want to get a house up here. Easy. It was August. The circumstances are different. So this year, we went and visited upstate New York again. We were there for 3 nights again. Oh, the mountains. I want to be up here. She hates the winter. Hates. So now she, let's buy a house. I'm like, why? Why would we buy it? Why don't we look at renting a house and then see how many times you actually go up there during the winter? And why don't we do that? And then that's risk-free. And that's what I like. So Casper, the mattresses, they offer free delivery. I'm already excited. And free returns within a 100-night home trial. So if you buy a Casper mattress.
And you sink it in on one side.
You sink it in one side.
And you're like, oh, it was great when I got it, but now it's sinking in on the side I've been laying on for too much. You could return it if that happens.
And they'll pick it up and bring it back.
So every 90 days. You
100. That's three. That's not. Now, let's say you're three. Wait. But
I
that's.
Think catch
yeah.
On, Mike.
Casper, you better be careful here. Yeah. You might have to deal with people like Mike here. I hope they do have a little thing where, well,
keep,
no.
Keep coming to my house.
You can't keep doing that because they're going to keep sending you, they're going to go, well, that's the mattress. We're not going to send you a mattress that's different.
Yeah.
So 100 days, that's 3 months and another week or two.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of days.
Yeah.
Casper offers free delivery, free returns with a 100-night home trial. If you don't love it, they'll pick it up, refund you everything. Everything. Dude, I like this. So here's what you got to do. Go to Casper, www.casper.com/rock. All right?
They're so confident.
They're cocky. Casper is cocky.
Yep.
They're cocky.
They know. They're just like, we're so good. No one's
we're Casper. We're cocky. Go ahead. Take it home. I'll tell you what. You don't like it. I'll tell you what.
I'll tell you what.
You can keep returning it every 3 months.
I'll give for 90 days. I'll give for 100 days. Forget 90 days. I'll give it to you 100 days. You understand that? 100 days. You don't like it, I'll come get it. That's how much I know you're going to love it. If you ain't going to love it, someone in your house is going to love it. Someone's going to be laying on that. www.casper.com/rock. www.casper.com/rock. And use my code, ROCK. ROCK. All right, dudes, there you go. Your there. You need a new mattress. There you go. I just hooked you up.
The last time,
ROCK. The code is ROCK. Last and then they know you heard on here. Cool news. I played Las Vegas. All right. When I played Las Vegas, I'm in the period where with the band where we're going to do one-offs, all local, Connecticut, Jersey, Long Island, New York City. And we're going to prep a show, which I already have in mind. Now we're just going to add the extras. And that show will be a visual candy, multimedia, and it'll lead up to February 3rd and 4th, which is at the South Point Casino. South Point Casino in Las Vegas is kind of cool. This guy, you know what? I should freaking call him right now.
Do you play this place a lot, or do you play somewhere else?
He has me playing every... Once I played somewhere else, and he was just like, dude, you're breaking my heart, and he matched the price and upped the ante. And from what I understand, he's such a good guy. He's like a family guy. Let me see if I can call him right now. His brother like runs MGM.
Oh wow!
So he wants to build our show into this whole other thing.
Isn't that where they have the UFC fights, MGM? Uh-huh.
Yes.
Oh, awesome.
Yes. And the reason why he's going to have us during February 3rd and 4th, he's like, Jim, you understand?
Your call has been forwarded.
He goes, you understand?
8675309.
At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hey, Mike, it's Jim. I was actually doing a podcast. We started talking about February 3rd and 4th, playing at the South Point Casino with the band and the production, and you guys are creating a production for the show and blah, blah, blah. And I actually wanted to talk to you because I like your whole history and your family life, and I want to know if you were interested in doing that and why do I play South Point Casino all this. So anyway, if you have a chance, give a call back. If not, we'll set up a different day for a podcast, and I hope you will. Had a great time last week, and I'll see you February 3rd, and I'll talk to you this week about the production for the show, man. Keep me informed, and I'm going to be on you. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
He's the guy who books the place also?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so he books it, and he also knows about all the production stuff.
Goodbye. Well, he goes, Jim, we got everything here. We got everything here. I want to see you. Jim, if I can have you guys as, he goes, I need your audience. He goes, I have Crystal Gayle playing. I have this one. He goes, the 16, 17-year-olds ain't cutting it. Because the new generation is your age. He goes, there's so many metalheads. There's so many rock guys. This is a great show. It's Jim Brewer and your record cranks. He goes, you got to build a show. I said, I have the show. I've had the show before the album came out. I already have it. I have exactly what it looks like, what the storyline is. So I sat down with him for an hour and a half with him and the production manager. And the production manager goes, dude, this is going to be so much fun. He goes, I'm a metalhead. He goes, we talk about this all the time. I go, yeah, we do. Every time I come out and play, that's all we talk about is the old metal shows we used to go. He goes, I love designing that stuff. I'm a designer. He goes, even though I'm just at South Point, he goes, can I show you some stuff after the show? He goes, just videos we make. Well, yeah. So he's shown me one of the bands that play, and I went to go watch this one band, and he's shown me the production. And it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, this is going to cost a lot of money.
And I keep asking management too, and they're like, "Well, there's this guy who does Avenged Sevenfold, and we're gonna sit down with them." I still haven't got a phone call. Hey, we're gonna sit down with this one. We're gonna gonna. And this is why I stress to everyone, no matter what entertainment you are, rock, whatever, you're a musician, you're a comedian, you're an art, whatever entertainment you do, do not rely on anybody, period. Yeah. You have to push yourself 1,000% and then hope the people, and then you got to be on their asses to deliver. Hey, I call manager, listen, I need you, before we got in here, I said, I need to know, bring me back to production because I'm going to go off on a tangent. It's tangent time. It's tangent time. Where's Jim going? We don't know. So
my favorite part of the podcast is tangent time.
Tangent time. Tangent
time. That's like the vent. The vent.
Correct.
This is what this is.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm glad you just brought that back. Mm-hmm. Well, Mike, you were in the car with me yesterday when I got some pretty bizarre phone calls.
Yes.
I have to throw the numbers out there now because I don't want to publicly put the numbers out. But here's Mike is in the car with me. I make good money. For some, they would say it's unreal great money. But my overhead is retarded. You have to remember, I have three girls. I have three girls in private school. That's pretty much sending three kids to college. Yeah. Which, whatever, it is. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, plus a house, plus my wife likes expensive things.
And your mom taking care of
my mom. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of overhead, so I have to make.
And then this band and all their hotel rooms,
dude,
and bathtubs,
bathtubs. I have to make, if I told you what I have to make a month, you'd be like, oh, are you kidding? What? It's a lot. What I have to make a month to stay above water and to save a little money for my future. So with that, on the way home, I get a call. Mike, me and Mike were just auditioning a guitarist, and the whole band was. I know 310 means agency. Hey, it's your favorite agent, and I'm in the middle of a sitcom thing right now, which we'll talk about. And there's another guy met me in L.A., and he's writing a sitcom, and blah. That's who I thought it was. I thought because we're about to go to Warner Brothers, and hopefully that'll become something, and whatever. So that's what I'm thinking this is. Oh, this is the date for the Warner Brothers. We're gonna find out. We're going to Warner Brothers. Comes out. He's listen. I'm telling you right now, I can get between X and Y 2 days a week.
For? Are you not allowed to?
Yeah, for something. And I went, it's a radio gig. It's a radio gig. Not regular radio. I went, well, all right. Well, it is, I need to think about this. I need to seriously think about this. So I hung up, and I'm sure Mike went into a slight numbness going, what? Wow, that was a series of numbers they just threw out.
And the guy was like, Jim?
Yes.
Jim, I'm trying to give you good advice here.
Jim, you got to do this. Yeah. You got to do this. Now, I also got on the phone. So I got on the phone with management last night. 5B Artist Management. And I said, listen, man, I just got offered X, Y. And before I even finish, oh my God, take it. Well, now, hold on a second. Here's my reservations about it. I believe in this album. I believe in the show. I believe what's going to become. I believe in what the next album's going to. I believe in the next 10, 15 years with this. And I still have my stand-up life, which is doing very well. And I think when we merge this together, the numbers they're throwing out are going to be compared to what will be happening. And not that I'm doing it for money, I just have a hard time thinking this is never going to go anywhere. Mm-hmm. You need a drive, you need a will, you need a belief, you need a, and I believe I have all that. All of it. So I called and he said, okay, I understand you're, I said, if this happens, I'm going to be banned from here. This is never going to happen. And that's a serious thing to think about. If this happens, my workload is going to go overload. And I really enjoy, like, I'm not going to be able to podcast. Or if I am going to podcast, we're going to have to figure out. And I'm not going to be into, like, okay, I'm working. And yes, it's only 2 days a week. However, I'm gone Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I miss my family. I come home. My mom's 90. I don't know. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesdays, I get time to go see my mom. I wheel her around for 2 hours. I take her to brunch. I take her to breakfast. We talk. I know I don't have a lot of time left with her. That's going to be out the window. I leave a lot of times on Thursdays to do a show. Sometimes I have to do press, so I have to go the day early. So now, now I'm working Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And I come home Sunday, and I got to catch up on everything. Boom, and then the cycle starts again. And, okay, what's the band doing? And it starts becoming... It's going to be a lot. I'm not complaining.
Something's going to have to go.
Right.
Seems like
something's going to have to give.
Yeah.
Something's going to have to give. And I ain't ready to give this yet. I'm really not. Mm-hmm. And nor do I think I ever will. This is not a, hey, I'm in it for this. We got to do it, and now we're done. We've been doing this way too long.
All right, I made my dream happened. I made a record.
Yes. No. I approached you, I want to say it was 2010-ish? Mm-hmm. Was it 2010-ish?
About that, yeah.
Somewhere on there, I said, Mike, oh, you get this music? I'm working on a thing. Even before you, was with someone else. Mm-hmm. I was doing it with my friend George and his son, and so this vision's been there forever. Mm-hmm. And now it's 6 years later, and it's now coming to perfection. So I got on the phone right before I got on here. I'm like, listen, man, I need to hear from you. You're the top dog. You're the one that handles X, Y, Z. You're the one why I went to you because I know you're the one. This is business, smart business. You're a smart businessman. I need to hear from you. We are on all the festivals next year. I'm already booking my stand-up through March. I can't wait any longer. I'm getting offers up until March for great payment to keep my head above water and save for my three girls going into college and hopefully be on that beach with a metal detector, with glasses, with my nuts hanging out of my shorts and people making fun of me and our YouTube. Oh, my God, look at Brewer. Wasn't that the goat guy? Oh, my God, it's horrible. Look at what he's become. And I'm going to lie. I want that. I want it.
You're just relaxing.
I want it. Uh-huh. What is he doing? Nothing. I'm doing nothing today. I may eat a brownie sent from Colorado and listen to my metal music in my garage. Colorado. And I'm all right with that. Mm-hmm. I've earned it. Mm-hmm. You got to tell me I'm going to be on Shiprock. Dude, Shiprock's easy. I need to know I'm going to be. That's in January. We need to be on Shiprock. We need to be on these rock cruises. And I need to know I'm on the festivals here and abroad. Oh, yeah, the festivals are easy. No, I don't want to hear that. It's done. We just got to make sure we get the right money. No, we can get the money. We can get the money. You tell me that, and I could sleep at night walking away from this. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you right now, if this doesn't happen, and I walked away from this, I have to move on to... I have to.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I have to move to different rep, and I just have... I don't have a choice. I'm going on your intelligence, your great management, and what you're about. To me, that's it. I go, we're rolling over here in the TV department. We're rolling. We're moving.
This is the kind of spontaneous publicity that makes people.
Things are going to start happening to me now.
Yeah, but it's radio exposure. But we got to think of this too. How many targeted listeners are listening to that? How many targeted listeners out of that are metal fans? How many of them are, compared to, we can go here, we can go in Detroit and play that market and be on the radio for 2 hours. And now we're playing England. How do I know we're not going to explode in freaking Germany? How do I know we're not going to explode? Oh my God, we're we're sold out of Germany, Copenhagen, everywhere, and we could spend the whole summer there, not knowing it's going to happen. But it all comes down to this show, too. So my wheels are in motion. I forgot why I told you bring me back. Why did I bring
production.
This up? Huh?
Production.
This always had to be a show. The music stands on its own. Mm-hmm. I believe that. But it has to be a show.
Right.
And the show, this guy, the best way to describe it, I showed you. He and here's my favorite part about it. He's like, oh, not only will I create this show for you, where it'll look ridiculous. And he starts showing me all these different sets and stage and movements. And at one time, it looked like you were in a movie theater. Mm-hmm. How do you do that? It looked like the seat. It looked 3D. It was crazy. It looked like another room.
Yeah.
He goes, this would be the garage. Here's the door you walk out of. Here's what it looked like when you're doing this and that. Let me show you this video. And he goes, and you know what, Jim? When you tour, you don't need a rig. You just need a guy with his computer. Wow. And he's going to show up, and you go, this is the screen I need. You don't need to rent anything. You use what they have. You just bring the guy with the computer. He's your extra bandmate, and that's going to call it. He goes, and I want to give this to you. And our payoff with each other is we'll film this as a 7-camera film shoot, February 3rd and 4th, with the production. You take that production, you go on the road with it.
Wow.
Because it does, I want this as a house residency. Let's try to get you in here once a month. Can I get you in here every Friday? Can I get you in here every Friday night? I said, well. He goes, trust me. We're going to do. He goes, I get people from around the world, country here, the world here, Jimmy. This ain't just Las Vegas. These are people from, he goes, UFC nights. We can move you over there at the MGM. I can put my brother's place. I want to build you. He goes, and all I want, you just keep talking about, let him know South Point exists. Uh-huh. Oh, that's easy. So you're going to develop the stage show with me, and we're going to do this, and you just want me to keep talking about just that's our payoff? Wow. Oh, yeah, that's an easy payoff. That's an easy payoff. But that is what we need.
It sounds so good.
Yeah. It does.
It sounds.
And this is what I've been saying since day one. Remember, I kept saying it. So we need to be in Atlantic City. House of Blues is closed. I was saying, why? I've been saying since day, get us a residency once a month, the first Monday every month, or just every Monday in Atlantic City, and you come see the show. I'll do stand-up. I'll do whatever. I'll do like I did in Brooklyn. I come out. I do 15, 20 minutes. I bring out the band. I introduce the band, blah, 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 what the story is, what the storyline is. We get into and now we're going to break it up. We do a bit. Oh, this came from the podcast. Now the podcast can become its own show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now you're doing the concert. It's just this has nothing but growth in front of it.
Right.
Now we're on the road doing the podcast. We're in freaking Copenhagen.
Yeah.
And I'm talking, this has nothing but growth ahead of it. And so that is, at the end of the day, that is, when you first hear a number, here's the number, you got to do this. A lot of times, every time I went for the money, I failed. And I'll never forget this moment. And this moment rings in my head. I'll never forget this. David Tell, I tell this story all the time. And I don't know what it means, but this is how I took it. I got offered the biggest gig ever. I just came off SNL. It's like 1999-ish. Gator Growl. Gator Growl is the biggest University of Florida event that they hold every year. 60,000 people fill the stadium, and it's homecoming. They have bands. They have huge comedians. The biggest, you know, they'll probably have Louis C.K. there this year. It's just monster. Kevin Hart will play. It's so at that time, the money. I'll tell you what the money was. It's a down payment for a $300,000-$400,000 house. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I went, huh, okay,
for
yeah.
One show.
20 minutes.
Ooh,
wow.
Why? You didn't do it?
20 minutes. Okay? Daniel Tosh is the opener. He's got to do 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. David Tell is the middle. He's doing 15 minutes. I'm doing 20 minutes. I'm like, if I crush this, think of how much money I'll be making. I already bought my leather pants. I already bought my kangaroo. I'm sizing up a wiffle ball stadium that I'm going to start building in my yard.
Uh-huh.
It is on. I'm in Travel Magazine, seeing what island I'm going to buy in 3 years. I may buy Johnny Depp's from him.
Wait, who was the first guy?
Daniel Tosh. But they're all unknown. David Tell has not. He's about to premiere the drinking show.
The one he did on Comedy Central.
Yeah. Yeah.
David Tell up all night. Insomnia.
Insomnia. Okay. Now, they sit us down. Listen, there's kids out there. There's families out there. They start RVing down here from all over the country a week ago. Mm-hmm. You understand? It's a big event. We've had Billy Crystal here. This one performed. We had Tony Bennett. You curse, you don't get your check. You smoke a cigarette, you don't get your check. You mention homosexuality, you don't get a check. You bring up religion, you don't get a check. Sign right here. Easy peasy. So I'm at my trailer. As I'm driving, I see just thousands of people for blocks long leading up to the stadium. We're in a trailer. Again, they got me in this ridiculous place. It's. I look at the number again for me at that time. Like, this is under. If I crush here, it's on forever. And we're all in the room. And again, all right, the show's starting in 20 minutes. There's marching bands. The gymnastics team comes out in between. They show videos, blah, blah, blah. If any of you curse, no check. Smoke a cigarette, no check. Religion, homosexuality, no check. Okay, got it. I'm looking over, I'm like, David Tell is never going to be able to pull this off. He's going to fail horrendously. This is going to be hilarious to watch. It's going to be hilarious. His whole act is just, he's dirty. He's funny and clever and smart, but he's dirty. Mm-hmm. He's going to pull this off. And he smokes on stage. He's going to pull this off. Why is he here? It's hilarious. He goes up on stage. Daniel Tosh goes up. No one's, Daniel's not who he is now.
Yeah.
So no one's even paying attention. David Tell goes up, and I go, I got to watch. I have to watch this. I go up on the side of the stage. He lights a cigarette. I went, what is he doing? Is he crazy? Is he crazy? And she's going, oh, my, this is ridiculous. You know what? Is he doing this? They're starting to flip. And he goes, let's get this out of the way. Cock, fuck, tits, whore, God, chisel, this. And he takes the 7 dirty words to a whole new level. Anal, chisel. I mean, he just, and the crowd go, wah. And he goes, sorry, Dean, but tonight's for the students. Wah. Oh, 40,000 people. First joke. Sometimes I stick my cock in the fishbowl just to let them know who's boss. He, one after the other. Is it me or is eggnog elf calm? Oh, wait. I'm not going to be able to follow this. There's no way I can.
He comes off the stage, and this is something I'll never forget the rest of my life. He looks at me, he goes, "Guess I'm not getting paid." And he walks by. And I went, "Screw that. I'm but I knew I couldn't I knew. He left them in a riot.
Yeah.
And I go out like, "Sir." Yeah. "Sir, I got this goat thing on SNL, and you know, it's weird, you know. What is it with goats?" There was a section that started booing. Not like four or five people. A section 207. And then once that mentality starts, the rest of the crowd is, "Yeah! Yeah, you do suck!" And now it's half with cheers because they're trying to support me. I never felt filthier taking a check. I took that check, but I knew creatively I was garbage.
Yep.
I knew talent-wise I was garbage. I just went for the money. My instinct was, "Oh, I got to up his ante, but I'm going to lose my check. I can ump this ante, but I want that check."
Right.
Yeah.
I did that thing, and that, I know it sounds crazy, but that taught me a lesson. Like, are you in it for the funny or are you in it for the check? It's all right to be in the check. Hey, we're all businessmen. We're all trying to make a living. And I feel like that rings in my head right here, right now. Hey, here's a down payment for a $400,000 house. Excuse me. No. $4 million house. Here's a down payment for a $4 million house. So, what's the deal, bro? I would jump on this. However, creatively, I love everything I'm doing and we're doing. And I don't know creatively if I'll be able to bring that or I'm going to be stuck in a position just collecting a check. What, Mike?
Did he make... So, that money that he did not get that night...
Correct.
It's worth it.
Oh, hands. Then all of a sudden, he hit...
He's the
biggest, but he was in the paper the next day.
Yeah.
David Tao, kick, disgrace, filth, fat. Every student was like, "He's my hero."
Yeah, yep.
He's my hero.
Yeah.
He said, "Screw that.
But
I'm going for the funny and I'll grab all these guys."
Yeah.
And then some. That is a David Tao moment that I'll always... That was such a... I don't even know how to describe that moment. I hold him, and some others are like, "Oh, that's stupid." I hold him as praise. Like, are you here for the art and long term and the funny, or are you just collecting a check, man? What are you selling? What do you do? That's that moment where you go, "Oh boy, I'm being challenged right here, right now."
And that money was huge to him at that point, right?
Of course.
Yeah, he wasn't.
Yes.
You knew him though at the time.
Oh yeah, I knew him. But I was kind of laughing, like, "There's no way he's gonna be able to. There's no way that we have to do this." I went on the side of the stage to watch him tank, and boy, did he! Yeah, and that is it's a cool. I always bring it up to him. We did the Anti-Social Network tour, and it was me, and that was another thing where I learned. My wife got mad because I was the only clean one. Everyone else was dirty. Billy Burr wasn't dirty, but, you know, he's F this and fucking this. Yeah. Motherfucking that. And Billy was starting to peak and starting to get to that new level. And I had to follow them all. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the night, I was clean as a whistle. But I would crush it. Bring it. Now I knew, okay, I got to play my game and still be funny and blah, blah, blah. But it brings us back to this. I believe what we're doing. I'm doing okay. My wife keeps saying, "You're having the best time of your life right now. Why would you give that up for a job?"
Right.
Yeah.
Is this a job? Are we okay? Are we gonna falter if you don't take it? No. Are we gonna drown? Are we never gonna be able to keep our heads above water? If that was a scenario, I would say this is more a very heavy thing to weigh in.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so that's when I say, well, moments like this come, like you really got to think about it. It's not just numbers. You have to really think about this. One little mistake right now, too, in my life. I'm going to be 50. This could be a 4-year move, a 3-year move, a 2-year move. Like, oh, you just set this back X amount of time.
Yeah.
And you just set this back where I feel I'm full force right here.
It reminds me of the Sylvester Stallone story making Rocky, where he wrote the whole thing and was like, I can sell this, but I can't act. I can't be Rocky. They want someone else to play Rocky.
Right, they wanted someone else.
Yeah, and he could get a ton of money to give them the script and have them, and he was just like, no.
It stinks! Don't play stinks!
We wanted it done right.
He wanted to do it himself, and...
Look what happened.
Huge cut.
To live in?
Of course, he probably took like a 200 grand.
Right, it was like, he explains it like...
I think I made 75 grand, maybe 140 for Half Baked.
Uh-huh.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. I co-starred that. I'm in the film pretty much most of the film.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he wrote it. Yeah, he's probably getting 200, 250. And look what that turned into, though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, he doesn't do that.
Jim Carrey for Ace Ventura probably got 250, 300. Yeah, really, you know, yeah, you kind of a name from, I mean, color. Okay, yeah, it's 300, which is great money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
After taxes and your agent and your manager and a lawyer, blah, he's taking home $120.
Yeah.
And got to wait for his next job. And boy, did his jobs come. But there's these moments in life where you really have to weigh shit out. You have to weigh shit out. Alex is like, I love Alex's look like, wow, this is, it's interesting shit.
No, what I'm saying is, like, it seems to me that, like, Rocky, like Stallone, Jim Carrey, when they're choosing the road of being artists, now they can name their price. So it's almost like taking that hit early and putting that investment in doing what you love will end up, you know, it'll end up balancing out.
I agree. And at the end of the day, I think I'll be all right with that. I got to read something real quick.
Sure.
All right. This is a new one. And then I think Mike from Las Vegas is going to call.
Oh, cool.
So you just text me. So, okay, this is a new sponsor to the show. I should really see how much getting paid so we can make money. I don't know how. I apologize for not knowing.
Who sets that up? These people set that
up. AdLarge sets us up. My wife, where are you right now? I'm at. Hold on. I like calling her and catching her off guard. And she's like, where are you? I'm told you I'm podcasting and then. Here we go. She, when I had a show every day on radio, hey baby girl,
mm-hmm.
Hey baby, I'm podcasting. So,
oh, got it.
You should be
now, so
sorry. Should be done soon. Then me and Mike are going to leave about 2:30, quarter to 3 for today's auditions.
Yeah. Okay. Very cool.
All right. You
what
good?
Time do you think you'll be home?
Let's see. The other guy's at 8. Oh, God. Probably about 10.
It's gonna be 11.
Maybe 11. Okay. Mike is looking at me going 11.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. I just don't want you to come home and then, you know, dinner's not here. Or, like, I just want to make sure I know where you're at.
I'll eat in the city or I'll eat before it. So thank you. I miss you.
I miss you, too. Have a great day.
Thank you. I love you. And you know what?
Too.
I got to say this. Can I say this to you?
Yeah.
Thank you for all you do, because even the conversation, like we're talking about this now, where I don't want to talk about because we're podcasting, but I leave it vague. Offering the money I am, the words that you said, you're like, are we in turmoil? No. Are we going to survive if you don't do this? Of course we are. Everything's great.
Uh-huh.
It's that, are you going for the money or are you going whatever? And I just, you bring such a great reason to it all and such a great calm. And even though you wanted to redo the deck and we're going to spend a lot of money.
Thank you for your kind here on the floor kicking and screaming, pounding my fists on the floor.
Talking about what?
I said, I thank you for the kind words, because I just got off the phone with Jack, and I'm still kicking and screaming with my fist pounding on the floor saying, I want a new dad!
Oh, that's really funny. Good. So our financial advisor saying no? No way?
You know, no. We're going to have a meeting in the next 48 hours for intervention.
All right, cool. All right.
Yeah, it's all good. You know what? It's all good.
Okay. And I was also explaining, like, you know, we have some, you have some great women around you. And it's funny because I tell everyone, unfortunately, the women around us have extremely awesome tastes. So every time we're ready to redo something, which I have to say, we have the best kitchen and the best bathroom, probably.
And the best living room with that TV.
Oh, and Mike just said the best living room, too, yeah, with that TV. Okay. Yes.
Oh, thanks, Mike.
But now we need a patio so we can get people to come hang out and we feel comfortable. So I get that, but God, I have a lot of money. Put in a patio. All right, so anyway.
Well, the financial advisor, you know, like, the wiffle ball.
And you have to, I do this with the kids. You have to ask yourself, do you need it or do you want it? And I'm kind of like 50-50 because Maria almost fell through it the other day.
Yeah, if we have a a person over a buck 20 in weight, they may be a liability. Don't go on the patio.
No, I think I'm gonna have a jump roping competition, and maybe we'll just have a deal. So if they fall through and get injured, we can have a little deal under the table.
Oh, that's a brilliant idea. We can stage an accident. They sue us for insurance money. We split it and we get a new dick. I love it. And then we can enjoy ourselves on that brand new Casper mattress.
You just wrecked it because you put it out there on the airwaves.
No one listens to this.
No one listens. No one's going to care. No one important is listening to this podcast. Don't worry about it.
You don't know that.
There's no insurance people listening. We're fine. We're fine. No,
it's a metal podcast.
It's a metal and me. Who's listening to metal?
If we had saved our money in a bank account instead of tossing it at homeowners insurance, we'd have a new patio.
Yeah, well, if I had a vagina, we'd be quite the couple. brother.
Oh, brother.
Anyway.
Right, you guys have fun.
Okay.
Talk to you later.
All right, love you.
Love you too.
Bye,
honey.
Bye.
It seems like her talk about, you know, do you want it? Are we okay? Is maybe, well, without that deck, I'm not that okay.
No, she's not. She wants it bad. And what she put out is, I have such a hard time thinking, if I'm paying over $15,000 or $20,000 for something, I got to put a chair on and stare in the woods. I have such an issue. But everyone in our neighborhood is like, you need pavers and the fire pit and with the chimney, and we can build a toilet, and it's $180,000. Are you out of your mind? I'd buy a house in Rockaway for that. Well, what? I have such a hard time with spending money on, like, just okay, it's backyard. Okay. Dude, I can really use that money somewhere. Boy, give me $150,000. I can do a lot of fun stuff with that $150,000. How about I use that and I promote the album? That's what I'm going to present to the... I should call my financial advisor. Should I call the financial advisor on the phone?
A backdoor talk so you can talk.
Because he tried calling me. All right.
Talk to him about what you want him to say.
All right. So anyway, we got a new sponsor for the show today. All right. It's deepdiscount.com. What is Deep Discount? This is my best friend in the world. DVDs, Blu-rays, vinyl, video games, or anything else like that. If you like DVDs, Blu-rays, vinyl. I'm not a vinyl guy, but everyone's starting to get a vinyl, although our album is now vinyl.
Ooh, really?
Yes, for cancer.
I should pick it up. I've got a nice little vinyl collection at home.
Yeah, video games. My kids love video games. Or anything like that. Well, then go to deepdiscount.com. You find everything you're looking for. Incredibly low prices. Deepdiscount.com. And right now they're famous for, all right, ready to this, metalheads? Metal Mania. Everything from Korn to Twisted Sister to Dream Theater.
So wait, they have, it's records?
It's records, vinyl, Blu-rays, DVDs, video games, and more. I like Dream Theater. I've always wanted to see them live. Now I'll get the DVD.
Yeah.
Because they'll hook me up. I'll go to deepdiscount.com. I'll look up Dream Theater. I want that live DVD. Twisted Sister. If Twisted Sister makes their... I want to see them in like 1983.
Mm-hmm.
If they got 1983 footage on Blu-ray or something like that, I'm buying it on deepdiscount.com. Now, here's another thing. Buy more, save more. Save more, sell. Okay, so here's their deal. You buy two items now and you save 10%. Buy three and you save 15%. It's already a discount place. That's why they call it deepdiscount.com. Mm-hmm. I want my video. I want my video game. It's already discounted. But now if I buy two of them, I'm getting 10% off.
You got to buy five at once. That's the way to go.
All right. So if you go to deepdiscount.com, there's coupon codes that are on the site. So there you go. And it's not just old stuff. New music, new DVDs. They got the I must fib. My daughter went on here and we got the new Beatles live. And it was sick. She's a Beatle maniac, and she got it in vinyl.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Yes, and she got the record play and the whole thing. So she read this like a couple days ago, and I'm like, what's this Beatles live thing? It's the Beatles live at the Hollywood Bowl, and it's on CD. Uh-huh. They have it on CD. I said vinyl. It's on CD. Check it out, deepdiscount.com. If you're into games, records, new releases, CDs, Blu-rays, all that jazz.
You should see what games they have, Alex.
I will.
Yeah.
But speaking of new releases, what do you guys think of Metallica's new single?
Love it.
Yeah?
I liked it.
Oh. It's like very, very,
it's very
Metallica-y and old.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like very old, like they're old, what they used to play.
That's what I love about it.
Yeah.
And by the way, production-wise, I don't want to give away a whole lot, but I watched them... one of my favorite songs by Metallica is Leper Messiah. I love everything about Leper Messiah. Let me read you, for those of you who don't know or don't care. Leper Messiah taught me more about religion, politics, and playing on people's minds.
What's that album? What album is that from?
Master of Puppets. See, Metallica, this is a lot what I wanted, why I started Metal and Me Too. There's so much metal. It was funny. I was walking around this podcast thing the other day, and I went up to certain people, and I went, learn how to love and forget how to hate. I said, who said that? Is it in the Bible? Did Jesus say that? Was that, who said that? And everyone's like, learn how to love but forget how to hate. I don't know who said that. He said it loud and clear. Learn how to love and forget how to hate.
Oh, I know. I couldn't figure out where it's from. Now I know.
I figured it out sooner than you.
Ozzy.
Yeah.
Ozzy.
Yep.
And when you think, oh, the Prince of Darkness, learn how to love, forget how to hate. This is from the Metal Preacher. Lou, can I get some Metal Preacher music?
Sounds good.
little Metal Preacher. This is Leper Messiah. I swear to God, taught me so much about organized religion. And I have faith. I have my own faith. I don't know what's out there. You know, people kind of, they come up and they explain to me, well, it's this and that. Like, I don't know that maybe that's what you believe and that's what keeps you connected, keeps you going. And that's an awesome thing. I would never deny that from anyone.
But that might be the whole thing.
And that might be the whole thing.
Which may be good enough.
Of course. Mm-hmm. But I got to be honest with you. I get livid. It enrages me whenever God or Jesus or any God Mohammed, whatever religion uses as that's their they play with people's minds and they use that as your weakness to take your money and brainwash you.
Well, and to control.
Yeah, that's right.
And completely control you.
Early on, people started realizing that, oh, I can use the church to control people.
I mean, think about confession. I now know everything that's going on in the neighborhood. I know everything going on in this neighborhood, which gives me financial advantage, which gives me mind control advantage, which gives me advantage over the law. Gives me advantage over a lot of things if you're just coming up to just confess. Now, I'm not saying don't believe in God, don't believe in Jin, leave your church. I'm just saying songs like Leper Messiah. Let me just read this. All right? Spineless from the start, sucked into the part. Circus comes to town, you play the lead clown. Right, it's like, all right, I get that. It's just like anything else. Please, please, and I'll tell you the area that really resonated with me as a kid. Because one thing I never understood, why does money have to be involved with church? And if you're going to tell me, well, they do great things for the community and above it, and it's a place to gather, blah, blah, blah. Can't you do that without money? Can't you do that without a specific, can't you say we're all gathering here? Is it because it's easier for people to go, all right, we always know we're going to go right there? And even there, can't you have it where it's, we built this? And the local electric, everyone volunteered to make this work? Why do you need money to make it run? Because then, in my mind, it's not true giving. If you have the cure for cancer, and yes, it costs you $1 million to make the amount of medicine to help people. Why that? To me, that's not a business. That's your human, God-given right to heal. You have the power to heal. Give it. You're not worth millions of dollars. You're worth that. You are a gift to humanity. If you have the gift to heal someone's mind through faith, why do you have to take their money, Mike?
Maybe. Well, I could see if people want to have a really, really nice place to go do their worship, and they want this church to be built up and look spectacular because that's where they want to go.
But then,
but I don't know. I don't know. I think they might take a lot more than that.
All right. Well, let's go ahead, Alex. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, well, you know, then people should be paying for it. And, you know, pastors should be making enough to live and not take the parishioners' money, make a nice place to worship, and then buy a Mercedes and, you know, a $500,000.
All right, which hence, here we go. When you watch all these guys on TV, which are in sold-out stadiums.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? Spineless from the start, sucked into the part. Circus comes to town. You play the lead clown. Please, please. Spreading his disease, living by his story. Knees, fall to your knees. Suffer for his glory, you will. Time for lust. Time for lie. Time to kiss your life goodbye. Send me money. Send me green. In heaven you will meet. Make a contribution and you'll get a better seat. Bow to Leper Messiah. Marvel at his tricks. Ooh, need your Sunday fix, do you? Blind devotion came, rotting your brain. Chain, join the endless chain taken by his glamour. Oh, he's so good looking. He's such a great speaker. He knows the Bible so well. Fame
Fame. Infection is the game. Stinking drunk with power. We see. I see. Time for lust. Time for lie. Time to kiss your life goodbye. Send me money. Hold on. Send me money. Yeah, send me money, send me green. Heaven you will meet. Make a contribution and you'll get a better seat. Witchery, weakening. Seize the sheep are gathering. Set the trap, hypnotize. Now you follow. And time for lust, time for lie, time to kiss your ass. Send me money, send me green. Heaven you'll meet. Make contribution, you get a better seat. Lie. Lie, 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 lie.
See, that's interesting because I think that song came out right around the time with like Tammy Faye and Jim Baker, Oral Roberts, like the those like televangelists who were really hawking for money.
Oh, on TV.
On TV.
Yeah.
And I remember like Oral Roberts said that, you know, he had a direct line to God, and if he didn't give him X amount of money, yeah, it was
right.
Like they were all crazy back then.
It still exists.
It is. I think now it's
and
like
here,
off TV more, but there it was like it, like.
But here and abroad.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Why even some? I don't want to mention, so I don't get some wacko again upset. But at the end of the day, that's what's driving a lot of violence.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
And hatred. And hatred. It's completely opposite.
Oh yeah,
it's amazing.
It's very immature to think like all it is there. It's almost as immature as me going like, "This is my band. I like you. Don't like my band. I hate you."
Right.
And you don't you right.
This
your
is
music.
What I love, and you don't love this.
That's right.
You're the enemy.
You're the
we
enemy.
We don't want people who don't like my band. The band that I like, I don't want them on this planet.
But again, it's like it's a way to develop power. Because if I'm the leader and I can get 1,000 people to like the same band that I like, then I can tell them what to do.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
They're gonna listen to
it's
me.
All. It's like it is just like children. It's like children in a school going.
And I tell you what, that chant, I remember being in a Lutheran church because my mom grew up Lutheran, her uncle created a Lutheran church in a village, which is still there. And that chant at the end, we are, we live under the Catholic. So like, what? That's, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You're brainwashing.
Yeah.
That's a cult.
Yeah.
You're brainwashing.
Yeah.
And I know people need faith. We all need faith.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, I'm like, listen, whatever it is, it's love. It's understanding, it's forgiveness, and don't take things personally. You believe there's a good force driving us all, and there is this balance between good and evil.
Right.
And
right.
You're either going to go in the good. The decision is a good decision or a bad decision for the better of you and others.
But I think that a lot of people who struggle with things in their daily life,
yes,
turn to faith.
Yes, and they
and
need to.
And it's amazing.
And I'm not putting it down.
No, but I also think that
If my wife didn't find faith, and she didn't believe in Lord and Jesus and all that, my marriage would be ruined.
Right.
It'd be ruined.
But then once it gets to my faith is better than yours,
yeah, now,
or what you're doing is wrong because you don't believe in my faith,
correct.
Then it becomes issues.
We had a slight thing, which we got over, and we talked, I think we may have talked on the podcast. So my brother died years ago, and I was trying to, his sons were not talking to each other. I was on a beach, and I literally, it was a foggy morning, and I went out, and I pray, don't talk to him, whatever you want to call it. Some people don't like the word pray. Whatever it is, I talked to him. I said, God, if you're there, please, Eddie, if I see your son this morning, which I'm going today, please give me the words to say to him. I know you know they're not talking to each other. I need your empowerment. I need your smartness. Please give me, just take over me and say that. I don't know what to say to them, blah, blah, blah. 30 seconds later, it was like a movie.
I started walking. His son came out of the fog, holding his wife's hand. It was like seven, and his son's never up early. He's a partier, and everything that was coming out was the way my brother would talk. He was really smart and intelligent and book smart, and was selling ads for the New Yorker and the New Yorker magazine, and always wore a tie and khakis. And I just, and then the family got mended after the boys started talking to each other. And I told my wife, like, you're not going to believe this. You're not going to. And she still was in the deeper part of, you know, everything's Jesus. Mm-hmm. Or this is who you pray to and this is how you pray. And I said, man, I just talked. I said, I prayed. And I went, you know, Eddie Schick, you're not supposed to pray to dead people. I went, okay, you know what? Okay, this is where we have problems. So you're telling me the prayer was wrong? Like, I shouldn't have talked to him. I should have went right to Jesus? Well, let me ask him. If Jesus is understanding, then he would have understood what I was doing.
Right.
There's a Catholic woman we're good friends with, and she always prays to Mary, and she goes, she's not praying right. Oh, excuse me. Excuse me. If you believe the Lord is forgiving and loving, he knows, and he says he's got all of us, he knows what she's doing, and he knows her intentions. Don't dare tell her that.
Right.
That is not your place.
It's also, if you have 10 friends and you want to tell them information, you'll tell each one of them it in a separate way to get your point to them,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's what you have to realize is, people have to realize is that for me, to get through to me, it might be through some sort of art or movie
yes.
that I watch.
Yeah.
Not the way, it just won't sink in
right.
that way. So the way to get through to you, maybe I have to talk in this way. That's yeah, the way it's right. going to reach me. If
yes.
If I talk to this person,
yeah.
it's not going to connect with me. So if God,
yes.
in quotes, whoever it is, knows how to get through in that specific way to each individual person, this person is not right to say like, oh, you should have done it this way, because it wouldn't sink into you.
Right.
The information would not be in your head for you to say those words at that point. Mm-hmm. So
right.
everybody has their different way of like getting through their brain.
I agree.
And for me, I always just go like, I think a lot of people, it's movies and art that inspire people to be good
yeah.
and stuff. It's not.
But leper Messiah.
But that's the other thing. It's like, you know, what Jim was saying as far as like if Jesus was understanding or if God was understanding, like, I'm a pretty good person. Like, I live
yeah.
my life, but like, I'm, you know, I'm not a D-bag.
I'm not
I
a
treat
dick.
People fairly.
Don't be a dick.
Exactly. And, you know, like, if I'm...
It's Alex, the faith I'm starting.
Alex is kind of a dick.
It's the faith of not being a dick. That's all. Just to be a dick. Right.
But if I'm going to go to hell because I don't claim that... Because I don't say that I pray to Jesus or
sure.
Jesus is my Messiah and I'm not... A
yeah.
bad person.
Yeah.
I just don't think that's fair, and I think Jesus should be fair.
All right, now Lou, a little Vegas music. We're going back to Vegas, and we're calling Mike. And all this comes to that song, "Leper Messiah." I watched what James and the boys did in Minnesota, and the guys they were showing me is pretty much the same exact screen for what they were doing for "Leper Messiah." Not the monstrosity they had, however, that is. Similar to the production of what we're looking at. All right, this is Mike from South Point Casino.
What up?
Hey, Mike. Are you cool with us podcasting?
Yes.
Awesome. Please. That's what I
All
thought.
Day.
That's what I thought. And I went, you know, I was just talking about how we're in Las Vegas and what a great guy you are. And I was just saying, you know, because I'm with a band member and some other guys. And I went, you know, I started talking about the production and long story short, I got offered a huge radio gig. It's crazy money. But I went, you know what? I'm on a mission right now and I believe in it. And I believe our show's leading up to February 3rd and 4th at the South Point Casino. And the conversation we had and what you're about and you and your family, like your family, someone told me your family, like your dad, You have a history there for a while, right?
Well, it depends on where you're going in my history of my family.
All right, this is what I heard. All right, I don't want to get too crazy. This is what I heard. And I don't know if it's all right. I just thought it was cool. Your dad used to have a lot of casinos downtown.
The downtown Vegas. And then, but I don't know. This is
more.
Okay.
I'll just tell you flat out. My grandpa, my great grandpa, which would be my dad's grandpa, was Al Capone's main man.
Wow. Whoa. Whoa. Hey, wow. That's all right. Cool. Holy crow. Al, she's like, whoa, let's go. Okay.
He was a Chicago governor, lawyer, and whatever else
sure
went on in those days.
Sure.
that's why I remember looking it up in a book going, son of a bitch, is that grandpa? is that your grandpa? He's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, pretty cool. Okay, enough said.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
So that...
So.
Okay, so I had no clue about that. So I just knew like casinos. By the way, how's production? Like, have we talked to what's the guy's name? Phil.
We all took the weekend to listen to your album, and I went around the room and I said, "What song?" to my two guys, and Joey goes, "Old school," and I go, "Paul, what song?" He goes, "Old school," and then they go, "What song for you?" and I said, "Old school." Okay. That's the one we want to start on right now.
All right, cool.
Show you what we can do.
Awesome. So
that's the one we're going to do right now.
Awesome, awesome. And I was just saying, I watched, what is the guy's name? The designer? I just had a brain fart.
Joey and Paul.
Yeah, Joey.
Yeah.
I love Joey. So Joey,
yes.
Tell him to check out the video of Leper Messiah live in Minnesota. Okay.
2016.
Okay.
And I was telling everyone okay. That's pretty much exactly what you guys are talking about, but on a much lower scale. Their screen is, you know, size of a football field, but it's that screen, those images, the way they use that screen is everything that we're talking about.
Okay.
And I got to be honest with you, Mike. Mike, I can't tell you what a fire you have lit under my ass. No, you don't understand. I am so excited about this. This has been my vision for 8 years, 6 years. I've been telling you. And the fact that we can pull this off would be pretty sick. And I was like, you know what? You know, I was telling them producing it and putting it together and the production. And I said, and all they want is like a South Point. I'm like, why don't you just call them? We'll start talking about it on the podcast. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Start talking about this in the real deal. Yeah. Let everyone know.
I'm with you.
You know, I start talking about, God, I really hope it turns into we're able to do it once a month, once a week, getting bigger rooms, able to tour and all that, and all because of we started old school.
All the time.
That would be sick. And I told them we got to be out there for the whole week rehearsing and all that jazz. So everyone's on board.
Whenever you guys want to come in, you just come in and I'll set the rooms up and, you know, you can podcast from here, from the hotel.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Pre-Super Bowl week. You know, that's why I want you here. Bring your family. Who cares? Let's just have one big fun fucking week.
That, you know? Yes.
It's fun. You
great.
Know, and you can podcast. We can go to dinner. We can just, you know, run it. And whatever advertisement or anything you need for me to push on my end prior, you know, to that, we'll do it. Remember. I do it because I love you and you're my friend and I'm going to do everything I can
same.
To make it. It was nice for you to finally see there's a creative side of me that just been waiting to tell you, hey, you know, let me help you here. I've been doing this for a long time.
Yes.
In the right spot. And then I saw your eyeballs go, yeah. And I was like, okay, you fucking understand me. I can do this. And Joey's like, oh, fuck, you just lit a fire under Mike's ass. Fuck. You know, and I'm going to get creative and have fun. You know, and Mike, my owner, lets me do this shit.
Yes. And
that's what's awesome.
And tell anyone, too, about your daughters. Does your daughter have, like, a website or a foundation just so they know and they're aware? And
we have it on our Facebook page. It's
okay.
The Alopecia Facebook. It's mine. You know, it's Cap Kids Las Vegas.
Okay.
Which I put pictures of you and stuff like that. If you want to join and push that, that's fine.
Okay, cool. I think we just did.
Whatever.
I think we just did.
Okay.
Well, all right, man.
Las Vegas.
All the best to your girls. Tell them I said hello. And we're gonna keep in progress. I'll keep calling you to see where we're at, and we'll keep in touch, and we'll podcast. Yep. South Point Casino, February 3rd and 4th. When can people get tickets? Like, when are tickets going to sell?
I think we're gonna get this thing set up. I think we're looking at a $30 GA ticket and a $45 VIP with a drink ticket.
Okay.
So I think we're gonna start selling this in December.
Okay, cool. All right, we'll keep on top of this.
So it can be like a Christmas present, you know what I mean?
Great.
Come to Vegas, get your ticket, that type of deal.
Great, 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 great.
Whatever
awesome.
You want, Jim, we're here.
Mike, I love you, man. Thank you so much.
Love you, too. Talk to you soon.
Take care, bye.
That is exciting.
That's Doesn't awesome. That sound awesome?
Yeah.
So those screens that he's talking about, are they like scrims? So scrims are, it's a screen, but depending on how you hit the light, it can be transparent.
Correct.
So you can see everything behind it.
Yes.
Or you can project the garage in front and it looks solid.
It could look, it's what you said. It could look solid. It could be
That's
transparent.
Awesome. That's such a great idea.
It could look like 3D.
Yeah.
It could, when we're playing Sugar Rush, there's videos playing behind us of like kids losing their minds.
That's such a great idea.
And they all do their own stuff. I'm like, I don't want to do the video for this. Like I said, after Old School, so they're working on Old School. Clearly, they want to do Old School. And to me, that's the easiest one because I said, just keep showing images of everyone I mentioned.
Right.
And I also said, I want to see when the crowd says, hey, I want real metal crowds. In the best, so it looks like there's a crowd behind us going, hey.
Oh, yeah.
And that is what our show, see, Mike's all lit. That is, makes me giddy.
Yeah, you're in a
that
pool.
That is my visual.
Yeah. Now you're in a pool of hay.
Yes.
From in front of you,
yes!
Behind you.
Same with Thrash. And then I want to show mosh pits going on behind me.
Wow.
Now the lights go down. And I'm on the video doing Brian Johnson coming out telling jokes. I got a great drug for you. You ready? I don't even have to do it live.
Right.
No.
It's all on the video. And right. He's in a comedy club. Mm-hmm. It's freaking hilarious.
You got the hat on. And
yes.
The
now I'm doing, hey, you ready?
That's awesome.
Wow.
Yes. So that is, now it becomes, the show's hilarious,
yeah.
The show rocks, the visual candy is brilliant,
yeah.
This is the best rock metal show I've seen since the 80s. That is what I want, that's been the dream, and that's what we're going to deliver.
Yeah.
I don't care what Eddie Trunk says, I ain't going on no boat. All right, this is fun. We got to rock. I'd like to thank our sponsors.
Casper.
And don't forget
Deep Discounts.
And yes.
Deep Discounts.
Right. DeepDiscount.com and order your Casper mattress 90 days, bro. I'm getting mine. And I'll be honest with you. I'm going to tell you what mine's like. I don't think they'd have a set of NADs to offer to give it to me, because they know I'm blatantly honest. If my wife hates it, it's going back. And we're talking
yeah, she's
about
not
it.
Gonna suffer a hurt back.
No,
yeah.
We're talking about it on air. So yeah. Thank you for the new sponsors. We're open to all sponsors, most of them. And thanks for listening. And I can't wait to talk to you guys next week. Boy, do we got some stuff going on for next week.
Uh-huh.
And we'll just leave it as that. Have a good one. Thanks for listening.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.